Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Always. Honored and taken back by the two intros to legendary Larry Hardest, ESPN 1050 on your dial back in New York City. Number one, African-American, colored, black, negro, called the basis of sportscast history in New York City, which makes him number one forever. And the Coco, the close friend of Mike Tyson. Two guys were talking today. He said him and his friend Mike. Mike said he's going to become heavyweight champion of the world. And Mel said he was going to become a wrestler. He became Rococo. Mike Tyson became the youngest and the 11th heavyweight champion of the world. Well, we're about Grand Prairie Studios. You know, we can come back for the Giants. Not so for the Jets. How about them Cowboys? First team in a long time to amass over 70 points and then hold the opposition under 24-25. Okay. Cowboys win big today. AT&T Stadium, which is probably bigger than an airport in some countries. CT Talks back with us. Come on, this never saw before. Colorado. 2 minutes left in the game. Down by 8 points. Tie the game. Go to overtime and win by 8. Prime time. Tonight was on 50 minutes. Summer Madness. And talking to my friend from Pamela in Texas, it was Summer Madness here for a while. Weather's been great now. And as always, open up with a gospel song. My favorite male gospel singer. My favorite song by him. Always remind me of my beloved dear and knew me, dipped in the blood. Well, sometimes he worked that way. Sam Cooke, on a Sunday, just in his garment.
The gathering throng, and while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh!" She had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still touch me. She said it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Bobby Williams, Brooklyn Network. And before we jump into our show, tell us what we prayer. I'm going to back here, get to my WhatsApp, and a couple of good things, too, what we're going to do. But first, we've got to get to our morning prayer. Well, where was it at that I had here earlier? I'm really upsetting myself. And we're going to do that for you, and then here we go. Good morning. If there's something better than giving others the best of what we have, it is giving others the best of who we are. Normally, good persons are like a street light. They don't shorten the distance, but they light up the path and make the walk worthwhile. And with that, it's prayer time. And I know my former sister-in-law has one we can open. Actually, I did it myself. I have one for her. So we're going to do that for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the new day. I'm so grateful for the many blessings you bestowed upon me. I only ask for your protection today, Lord. Keep me safe and healthy, including my friends and beloved family, especially in this time of unsolved pandemic. Father, unto your hands I submit everything. I ask this through Christ, our Redeemer and Savior. Amen. Dr. Johnny, sponsor that Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, and we got CT Thoughts here with us. A couple of big comebacks today. They were watching the New England game, and all of a sudden, Miami, who was kind of running away, New England just started to make a move. I think it's big enough, another INT. That's going to make things a little different here. And, you know, Tim, we talked about some things we never saw, and we've just seen one running start from the blind side and block the punt.
Amazing play. It was certainly something that had not been done before. I think you're going to see a lot of other teams adopt this new form of going after kicks. It was pretty strategic, and I think going forward, you're going to see a lot more of it, college as well as pro.
That's successful. That's the bottom line of it, successful. So you got it like that. Also, you know, talking about things we hadn't seen before, it happened yesterday. It's Florida State, Boston College. A big interception is made by a linebacker. The team goes down. It's third and goal. They thought they had got a touchdown. That's what it was, touchdown pass. It wasn't a touchdown. It was first and goal. And he brought in the linebacker who made the interception. And he scored it. I've never seen any do it before, CT. Never seen that. The coach from Florida State, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's almost reminiscent of the days of the fridge. And it was very interesting to I've never seen that before at the collegiate level, where you have a defensive lineman that then is brought in to score the touchdown. But it was fun to see. I like how you incentivize hard work and allow someone to go score after making such a great defensive play. And maybe you'll see more of that in the collegiate level as well. We'll see.
Yeah, the residue of the hard work that came through. Dr. Sandy, of course, in the Block Talk Radio Network. We are here on a Sunday night, 17 to 3. 43 seconds left in the third quarter. New England trailing the Miami Dolphins. They were trying to make a drive, trying to get back in this football game. Still a lot of football left, but the clock is ticking, and Miami's looking very good. Who looked very good today, got all the pieces together. Look at the score. You say, wow, Patrick Mahomes, two touchdowns, 300 yards. The Chiefs win. Smith is back. His tight end is back. The champs seem to be posed to defend the title.
Yeah, you know, when you think of Patrick Mahomes, you think of a young man that's building upon a legacy. And, you know, you have to think about MVP almost every year that he can remain healthy. And you think of a gentleman that is really the integral part of the success of Kansas City. We know they've lost their offensive coordinator. They're trying to make sure that they can keep the momentum, and the one stay there is Patrick. And as long as Patrick is healthy and you put some talent around him, they can always be dangerous and can always make a run for the Super Bowl title.
Yeah, and that's validated by the fact that, okay, they lost the enemy this year. Last year they lost Hill. They weren't going to get as many long touchdowns. They weren't getting as many points. So Mahomes threw for 5,000 yards and they won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And, again, you know, as young as he is, and, of course, you have to tip your hat, of course, to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and many of the greats before this young man. But on the trajectory that he's on today, if he can maintain the consistency that he's maintaining and the greatness that he is demonstrating, he's going to have a long, long career ahead of him that could potentially make him one of the greatest of all time.
I think he's already at that tag. I think looking for the best. But it's amazing, too, and that he plays a lot like Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick, I said, you know, when you saw Vick played like he was playing in the street, and Mahomes does, too. But sometimes he'll throw the ball sidearm, underarm. He gets the ball to you. That's the bottom line.
Mahomes is first of all, super intelligent player, understands the game at an extremely high level. Like, I almost think of him as a coach out there on the football player. But when you look at his arm talent and the ability to make the kinds of throws that he can make, sidearm, no look, he's a Magic Johnson out there on the football field, and just someone that demonstrates extreme level of intellect, strong competitor, and expects to win every game he plays.
Black Family Sports and the Block Talk Radio, the Justin Garvin Network. The Cowboys didn't shut out their opposition, but they beat up on them pretty good, limited to a little amount of points, and they've become the first team in a long time to score over 70 points their first two games and hold opposition under 25. Speaking of Magic Johnson, and we'll do that later in another broadcast, they asked Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the conversation was, who's the better point guard between his teammate, Irving Magic Johnson, or now the great long shooter and also another great basketball player, Stephen Curry. And Kareem said, this is going to surprise you. He said, but Oscar Robertson is the best point guard I ever saw. He said, I played with Oscar the last 4 years of his career. You know, he was the downhill side of his career. He said, but, you know, if they had the three-point shot in his day, there's more points. And in looking at the stats when they matched him up, Oscar has averaged more points than Curry, okay, averaged more rebounds than Curry, and averaged more assists than Curry. Magic, he's averaged more points than Magic, just as many rebounds as Magic. So, you know, Kareem has always said, when they asked him who's the greatest player of all time, he said, no, people evidently didn't see Oscar Robertson.
Well, you know, Oscar was a bit before my time. I understand how great he was just in communicating with you, Doc, and some of the accolades this man has demonstrated over a long career. Ironically enough, the same question was asked of Michael Jordan. That is, who is the greatest guard of all, point guard of all time, Steph Curry or Magic Johnson? And Michael Jordan said it was Magic Johnson. He did delineate, if you will, or segregate and state that Stephen Curry was the greatest shooter of all time, but he felt like Magic Johnson was the greatest. And again, that's a gentleman that did not have the pleasure of playing with Oscar Robertson and probably didn't know could not witness firsthand the greatness that Oscar brought to the table. So we all look at life through our own prisms, experiences, and where we are in our lives. And those that are before us can talk through about Oscar and others that have done great things. It's just the vast majority of the folks today have not had the blessing and opportunity to see Oscar at work.
Yeah, no question. And when you talk about Curry, Oscar was the shooter, and he could have been a deep shooter, as Kareem said, had there been a need for the three-pointer, and he was definitely the passer and the rebounder that Magic was. And the big plus you give Oscar over Magic is, you know, if you just start with defense, he's better defensively and he's better offensively. But like you said, he's the combination of both. He's the guard that could shoot and the guard that could pass. And, you know, so this, I've never thought of thinking a point guard, a shooting guard, a guard with no jump shot, a guard that can't handle the ball is not a guard. Doc Stanley, Sports Center, Blog Talk Radio, on Trust and Guard Network, and we're watching the New England game. They're trying to get back in this football game. They have a lot of time left in the game, and we're going to look at some things here. We go to my thing. How about them Cowboys? One big again today, 2-0, which keeps them on pace with the Philadelphia Eagles, who won. Giants made a big comeback, get back to the division race early. They're 1-1 now. Jets now 1-1 in their division. Big game next week. Somebody should have thought about to ask the young quarterback today, because they play, if I'm correct, they'll be playing the Patriots next week, and the Patriots look like they're still maybe winless. Prime time in Colorado. What can we say about that game? You know, and the thing, like you said, the outside emotions of coach were very calm, very cute. The clock is running. They're down by 8 points. They're playing at home. They're playing a team that hasn't won a game this year. They're 2-0, already won twice as many games as last year. And his son at the helm, losing one of the best all-around players, going to be out for a while. And I think there should have been some punishment implemented on the young man who did that hit. But down by 8. Clock constantly running, and they come back and win by 8.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you look at the confluence of events with respect to losing arguably the best player in college football, Travis Hunter, in a very unfortunate and what some deem as a dirty hit, late hit, to the personal side of this with some of the rhetoric that was happening prior to the game, the insinuation of prime time not being raised properly, not demonstrating the proper respect. So you've got that element. And then the fact that Colorado, who although went winless last year, managed to be ranked number 18 as of yesterday, and to be the big favorite against Colorado State. And then you take all of that, you look in the fourth quarter, there the Colorado State defense is really imposing their will upon Colorado. And then Shedeur Sanders demonstrates what I think you're going to see. You're looking at a young man that is prepping himself for the next level of NFL and demonstrating already his poise, his commitment to win, his just putting the team on his back and being unwilling to lose to represent Colorado, his father. Just a tremendous job, and hats go off to Shedeur and the rest of that team. But he literally put him on his back. He got out of his element, began to run for first downs. He did whatever it took to win, and he refused to lose that game. I think single-handedly was the key to the Colorado victory yesterday.
Yeah, by any means necessary, if you want to say, you know, as a great line from Malcolm X, this football has turned around. You know, it's just remarkable how in seconds there they were being roughed up, being manhandled,
yes,
down, and now all of a sudden New England with a point after, one touchdown down, with a whole lot of time left in football. Colorado, just as, you know, if you're a Colorado fan, you're saying, well, when our prime time is going to be, because he had been earlier on shows saying, and now I said, wow, you know, they're down by 8 points. Mm-hmm. The new rules keeps the clock ticking, so they couldn't do any timeouts. Mm-hmm. And we kept saying, you know, mm-hmm, wasn't going to do the timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and won. And I think that's going to have to, if they were 18 yesterday, a couple of losses here, there's some other big teams, that's going to elevate them maybe, possible top 10.
Well, I think Colorado barely getting by Colorado State will slow their elevation up the rankings a bit. And then you have to really keep in mind that the toughest part of their schedule is upcoming. Mm-hmm. They've got Oregon next week, I believe, USC the following week. They have got some tremendous opponents that's really going to test their mettle and kind of where they stand amongst the most elite teams, you know, at the collegiate level. So, you know, I think everyone is waiting, you know, for prime time to fail, unfortunately. Every day his team has a mark against them. They you know, teams are coming for them. I can tell you now that Oregon and USC will be at their best because nobody's taking this team lightly any longer. And so I'm excited. One thing we do know, Prime is going to have those boys ready to play their best game, and they're going to come to compete, and we know that for sure.
Yeah, it's sad that they lost their best all-around player. The guy said maybe the best player in college, especially behind the kind of nonsense that went down. And you know, as I say, the blood-on-blood nonsense. I don't understand this idea of making hits to inflict pain. You know, you make the hit. And I think somewhere along the line, it has to be admonished, admonished to, and say, hey, man, make the tackle. But, you know, once you go overboard, they did throw the penalty on him. I think at that time, he's been thrown out of the game. As later on, there was another player on the team who was finally thrown out of the game. But I think, you know what, you're out of the game. And there's a fine with this. There's a fine with this. You know, you're playing football. You're not playing mercenaries. So, but big win for them. Big win for the Giants to come back. And what about that team for Washington?
Well, the Commanders today demonstrated a tremendous amount of resilience. Down in Denver 21-3 and continued to plug away. Finally got the game tied up, went back down 24-21 and then went up 28-24. Ultimately, they went up another score or two and really demonstrated the ability to come back. Hats off to Eric Bieniemy. I think that gentleman has been unfortunately passed over too many times for a ultimate coaching opportunity. I believe that the rumors were that Andy Reid was the one calling the offenses out of Kansas City, and he needed to get out from that umbrella and make an impact at a different team. What better team than the Commanders, who historically last year were amongst the worst in offensive performance, and already his brand, his style, his intelligence is being executed at the highest level. And he's turning the team around that was arguably one of the worst offenses last year. I expect them to be in the top 10 amongst a number of rankings this year under his leadership. Hats off to that gentleman for the work he's done. And they couldn't have won this game without his brilliant offensive coordination.
Yeah, and it's sad and touching, as Howard Wesson used the term, that this guy hasn't got a head coaching job. Remember, there's an article I had the other day. I don't know if I still have it here, where it talked about the discrimination in the NFL when it came to journalists and so forth and so on. And reading some rebuttals to it, there was a statement that somebody said, well, you know, 85% of the players are players of color. I said, yeah, but what percentage of people of color or head coaches? That's the point. You know, we always talk about the mainstay, you want ownership. And even look at the great Michael Jordan, when he finally got a team, you know, he really didn't get an outstanding franchise. I mean, with Hal McCray, we used to talk about it. You know, when you give a black manager or a Latin manager a team, you usually give him a bad team. It doesn't have a chance. And he said, yeah, you know, you want a chance. And the team does start winning. They come in, they make the impact. But, you know, they're Clydesdale, you know. They're not Arabian horses, so now they're going to fall back to their throne, and now he gets fired. So, sad and touching, but some things change, they remain the same. Dr. Sandy Sports and their blog, Talk Radio, Touch and Grab Network. As I said, we're just, you know, talking about the Giants game. It's quite evident. Next week is big. What the Jets do, I believe they're playing the Patriots, and that, I think, will be the final say so. And it seems to me that Wilson talk today like he's going to be the starting quarterback, you know, as we were in the press conference, you know what I mean? Some of it was his fault, the pressure that was put on him.
Yep.
On him. Some of it wasn't his fault. There were a couple of drops.
Yep.
And a lot of the big part wasn't his fault because I thought at some time the guys who were the Zebras there were wearing cowboy uniforms.
Absolutely. I think, unfortunately, the loss of Aaron Rodgers just feels like it's, in some respects, deflated the aspirations and the culture, you know, of the Jets. And you kind of see that in their swag a little bit. They had a different swag in preseason. You looked at them on HBO Hard Knocks, they had a swag. There was an absolute expectation of anything less than a Super Bowl victory would be failure this year. And now all of a sudden, it's really just trying to win enough games to a playoff. And Zach, who I think is maturing, is growing under Aaron Rodgers' tutelage, unfortunately still has a ways to go. And I think there's still a question mark on his overall ability and talent to lead a team at the highest level to get to that next, to get to the Super Bowl. New York Jets defense showed up, in my opinion, today. I think there were some calls made by the refs that were certainly very questionable. There were some calls on roughing the passer that I thought were just flat out wrong. There was one call on pass interference in the end zone that I thought was wrong. But I would have to say that one of the most critical inflection points of the game was the opportunity for the New York Jets to do a pick six. And I think that could have changed the whole nature of the game, the whole complexion of the game, and really get them back in it with some momentum change. And so there's some challenges that go along all along the way, with from Zach to some missed opportunities on defense to some poor officiating, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, not poor, horrible officiating. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers, it'd be interesting to see, you know, if they can win a couple of games and get 3-1, Buffalo won again today, won finally. But it'd be very interesting to see. You're hoping his maturation would show this week, and then it'd be interesting when Rodgers is on the sidelines being able to coach him.
I think you're right. I think the game against the Patriots next week is going to be critical for the Jets, and I also believe that this game is going to be critical for Zach. I would not be surprised if leadership inside the Jets organization is already actively pursuing some other quarterbacks in that position. Because, quite honestly, they don't necessarily feel that he can take it to the next level. He needs some more work with Aaron, and you can tutor him all you want. The real challenge is he does not have the ability or the skill set of Aaron Rodgers, and so what you can only hope Zach will do will be manage a game, mitigate turnovers, make the right reads, make the right throws, and give his team a chance to win in every single game. And unfortunately today, the offense just did not help the defense. They just didn't help him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know, and I said that earlier. These are my Doc's any words of wisdom and truth, a.k.a. Julius Luigi's words of wealth. After giving up none, you have to get some. And I thought about that in the press box today. And you know, you look, the defense did demoralize the Cowboys in a lot of ways because they were in the red zone, had to come away from field goals. But if you couldn't come back and get another field goal at least, and somewhere in that area of them getting four field goals, you putting at least a touchdown in there along with your three field goals. So it didn't happen. Next week, I believe it's the Patriots will check the schedule. That's going to be big. And right now the Jets are tied with Buffalo with the division lead. The worst that can happen here is that New England wins at 1-1, but right now they're behind. So you'd have a big division game. You know, maybe the Jets can win another division game. I meant to ask Zach about that, but he had left early. So, but you got to like the, you know, I think the Cowboy fans are really fit the term of, you know, the fan comes from being fanatic.
Well, you know, having lived in the great state of Texas since 1996, there is an anticipation, and ironically enough, the last Super Bowl they won, I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, it was 1996. But having been in the state for a period of time, there is an expectation every year, and I would have to tip my hat to Jerry Jones. He does a good job of salivating the appetite of the fans, keeping them on the edge of their seat in anticipation of a Super Bowl run. Now, unfortunately, when you look at the facts don't bear out that they can get there. They're a very good team. But right now, their defense looks great. You know, their offense is getting it done. Dak didn't turn the ball over this week, although there were opportunities for him to have done so. The Jets dropped some passes, quite honestly. That being said, and it's not just fanatical. I have had the pleasure of going across the country. I've tailgated in 11 different cities to include Mexico and others in the U.S. And these Cowboy fans are fanatical literally all over the country, if not the world. And so, yes, what you witness here, Doc, is part and parcel for the typical fan here and for Dallas Cowboys.
Mm, yeah, and scoring drive of one play, 42 yards in 7 seconds, and Belichick is looking puzzled, but Miami has once again as the Patriots are back in the game. Bam, here goes number 31. Cuts over the left side, and next time you see him, he's handing the ball to the referee, and that quickly is putting New England in the bigger hole. And once again, at home, this will be the second home game that they would lose. Opening the first two games, Miami now with a point after coming. We'll wait and see. It is 24-0 live here from our Texas studio in Grand Prairie. Doc Stanley with CT Talks. And we've got Raheem Mostert broke it through. Number 31 went, I think, about 31 yards, maybe a little more. And Sunday Night Football is 24-10. Miami Dolphins leading the New England Patriots. How things have changed since Tom Brady left town. Yeah. Black Stanley Sports Network, Block Talk Radio on the Preston Guard Radio Network. Coming right back in just a minute. Don't move. Don't move.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Block Talk Radio, Justin Garvin Network, Stanley Turnton, one of my favorite saxophonists, along with John Coltrane. Got a chance to meet Mr. Turnton. I want somebody to get a picture with him. Lucky enough, nice album for me. And I was made befriended by the great Grover Washington Turner. Over the phone is a stand-up comic and introduced him by the great Dr. J. I remember when I talked to Larry Bird about meeting Grover, he told me I met Grover through Julius. He said, me too. We lost Grover back in 1999. Wow. One of the great human beings to walk the earth and be in the great world of jazz. Dr. Stanley, posting a blog talk radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. We're here seeing Miami continue to up the lead against New England and at the same time play football to keep them 2-0 in the division. That's thought about it. Yeah, they'd be 2-0 he'd be leading the division because you have the Jets now who are 1-1, Buffalo who is 1-1, and you have New England, if things stay like they are, long way to go, but a long way to go too for the Patriots, 24-10 football game, and Miami would be leading the division. Jets in that division, Buffalo's in that division. Division titles been 2001 to 2019. The Patriots won 17. The Bills have won 3 division titles since 2020. And 40% of the odds to win the division. The Jets at 5%. That really went down. Aaron Rodgers last week, that was a lot higher. They had that 2 weeks ago. And so we're seeing the percentage on that. And we're seeing here, there's an old pass interference. You know, a call like that is a good call for a team trying to drive because you're going to get the first down, you stop the clock, you know what I mean, and it keeps the momentum going. At the same time, it makes the defensive back kind of wear out. I can't do that again. I can't be as aggressive as I want to be.
Absolutely. The fact that you've got these calls, you got the defense now thinking twice, and it's the perfect kind of play that now they've lost some of their aggressiveness. You can now be on attack mode and really go after them in a much more aggressive manner from an offensive perspective. So great call. Well, it's a good call for the offense. And I think, you know, as we move forward, we'll see how that impacts the way the defense aggressively pursues and goes after the defender, after the offensive guy.
Yeah, and from the games that we saw today, it was an admirable call.
It absolutely was. Unfortunately, again, I'm just going back to the game that we witnessed today, in Cowboy Stadium, those calls were just, and you go look at the tapes for yourself. There's plenty of footage, but you look at the calls that were made with respect to the roughing the passer, the offensive interference, it's just not the spirit of how the game is played. There was nothing dirty about the hits on the quarterback. The gentleman didn't have offensive interference. So it's we got to make sure the refs are allowing these people to play.
We mentioned it, the aggressiveness of the cornerbacks wouldn't be so, but evidently it's not so. And now we're going to get another pass interference, it seems. Well, now will be another first down and another clock stop saving thing. Okay, so, this is advantageous to New England because it stops the clock. More importantly, there were 2 passes. Maybe they were going to get caught, now they get caught. But that was a big thing with the Jets. The Jets were 100% on fourth down, but most times they were penalties.
They were penalties, just horrible today with third down conversions.
One
of 9. Zach threw 3 interceptions. Can't do that. And the opportunities that you did have, there, unfortunately, just weren't taken advantage of. So it was very unfortunate. Doc, I did want you to be able to give a shout out to former NFL player you met today, Barry Foster, former Pittsburgh Steeler running back. I'm talking about Banana. A little hit for history buffs, or you may get this question asked on Jeopardy one day, which is who is the Pittsburgh Steelers single season rushing leader for a single season. The gentleman's name is Barry B. Foster.
Barry Bananas Foster.
B for Bananas. He's actually, his initial is actually B, but apparently Chris Berman named him Barry Banana Foster. But just a really, really upstanding young man. He is coaching here locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Doc had the pleasure to be introduced to him and to interview him a bit as well. Doc, what's your thought about Barry Banana Foster?
Well, Steeler fans are big. I just like the graciousness and so much of the humbleness that's always displayed by skilled players. I remember talking to Franco Harris, and Bananas concurred too that, you know, that fan base is a fanatical to a certain degree, not to the Rangers or the Dallas Cowboys fans, but very supportive, very encouraging, and fanatical in their loyalty to the Steelers. And it was good to talk to them. And also, we have an ensuing show. We're able to do the interview entirely that we did with him and the other former NFL player who played with the Buffalo Bills and was part of. He talked about the sneaking out when they left Cleveland to go to Baltimore, how the players didn't know. You know, they were told at the last minute, you know, that they were, you know, sneaking out of Cleveland. And so we'll have the Helen's for you in its entirety in the future, next Sports in Depth. But it was good to see Bananas. And, you know, we sat there and talked to them, and they talked about they were former players. And, wow, it was amazing who they turned out to be. And as we're watching this game, it's amazing how this game is turning out with 5:44. New England looking to get into the end zone with a good 5 minutes left. So, you know, we watched some exciting football here. Yesterday, Colorado coming back. Now, New England making their move back. Last Monday night, the Jets making their comeback. And here it is. Here it is. 5:25 left to go. A lot of time. And 9 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes, 20 seconds. The pass interference calls were advantageous. But 9 plays, 75 yards, 3:20. And New England, we said it had a long way to go. Well, it's not that long anymore. And maybe before we go off air, we'll have it. Maybe we're going to Doc Stanley's course in the Blog Talk Radio, the Trust and Government Network. Looking at some other scores. Baltimore won, beating Cincinnati, who now is 0-2. The world champion rectified some things. Now they're 1-1. We had some other scores. What other scores do we have today?
You got Indianapolis beating Houston 31-20. You've got Seattle over Detroit 37-31.
Good comeback overtime by a quarterback they could use now playing for Seattle.
Absolutely.
Mr. Jones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Buffalo rebounded from that tough loss with the Jets last Monday night and just absolutely obliterated Las Vegas 38-10. Atlanta had a great comeback, last-minute comeback against Green Bay. I think they kicked the field goal towards the end. I just think that there's so much parity in the league now. And it's getting closer and closer every year. It's going to be interesting to see how this league plays out. Who stays healthy? That's always a big part of who makes it towards the end. Who stays healthy? Who peaks at the right time? And you just never know. That's why you got to play the game on Sunday. You just never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you throw out the records, particularly for divisional playoff games. Sometimes you throw out the stats, and you just suit up and play the game. But some great football played in the first 2 weeks, and looking forward to a really tremendous season to see how this thing finalizes and who's going to be the last team standing in February.
Yeah. The big thing, too, is it's not fantasy football. Games are not played on paper. They got to be played on the field. Dolphins against the Chiefs next week, I believe. So we're going to find out if they win today. Can they keep on winning? Chiefs looking like the key. They want to start rolling. It's just sad last week didn't have his tight end, and he also didn't have his great defensive player. But they got him back this week, got back on the same page. What's more importantly is – if Andy Reid is calling the offensive plays, well, you know, let's see how well he's doing it. You know, they only, I think, what they got, 17 points today, which is not a lot of points for them. They lost last week. I think they got less than 17 points last week. So if Andy Reid is calling the plays, he's not doing such a good job. And you wonder how much is that because of the guy that used to call those plays now in Washington. And as the words of the great legendary man Boykin, it seems that Andy Reid is perpetrating a fraud.
Well, you know, as a Washington Commander fan, great deal of respect for Andy Reid, former Eagles coach, as everyone remembers. And I honestly was just astonished that Eagles allowed him to go and build a franchise and ultimately a dynasty anywhere else. But I'll tell you, Eric Bieniemy has not been getting the credit he deserves, to Doc's point. But more importantly, I think the one advantage that Andy Reid has is he's got a Hall of Famer quarterback and tight end and leading, you know, on his team. And so, you know, those guys are going to always put themselves in a place to win a game. And, yes, I do think that you're going to see the offensive stats decrease this year. I don't think they will win as many games. And I do believe that is what I would call the Bieniemy impact to the organization. And I think, contrarily, as I stated earlier in the broadcast, you're going to see the Washington Commanders offense reach heights that they haven't reached in many years. Again, I'm predicting them in a number of stats to be in the top 10 within the league this year. So we shall see. But, you know, Andy Reid has the luxury of some Hall of Famers on that offense that I think, you know, keeps him in the game, whether he's making the calls or not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, also, Philadelphia's done quite well with his absence in the Super Bowl last year. Right now, 2-0 as they move into the season. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, Trust Me, I've Never. It's Sports in Depth, and it's talking Sunday sports. We gave you some of the scores. As you know, last week, Coco won at the U.S. Open, and number one player in the world won again. Now the most titles won by a male player. I believe he's tied Margaret Court for 24. And had a great sample, I'll have to ask. You know, I'll have to talk about, you know, the clothes doesn't make the man. The man is made by his class and character, but the clothes enhance the appearance of the man. I've got a chance to meet him on a couple of occasions, too. We are looking at the closing seconds, not the closing mornings, the 24-17, real good football game. A lot of good football games we've seen here at our Grand Prairie studio station. And we're going to let Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way, and we will give you the latest updates on that. Cowboys now have swept the New York teams. So far, they got to play the Giants again, but they've got both their victories from New York teams. The Giants last week, the Jets this week. The Jets happened to get some points where the Giants did not. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Okay, well, you got a busy NFL schedule for us, CJ Talks. Give us a rundown.
You know, if you love the game of football and Doc is a sports fanatic, so he can speak historically football, baseball, of course boxing is one of his core loves. I'm primarily a football fan. Been blessed to travel the country, see a number of games over the years, and it's always very interesting. I would highly encourage my other fellow football fans to do something similar, but just travel the country and go do some tailgates in other cities, et cetera. We've been to Chicago, D.C., Atlanta. St. Louis was our first one 12 years ago, whatever, when they had a team. But anyway, coming up this year, we're excited to go see Kansas City play against the Bears on September the 24th. So we'll be in the city of Kansas City on next week. Excited about that. Get a chance to go out tailgate, meet the local people, understand the local culture. We'll normally stay a day or two and try to do a couple of visits, et cetera. And then I'm most excited about, the London game. We've got the Baltimore Ravens playing the Tennessee Titans in London, I believe October the 15th, if I'm not mistaken. So if you haven't, we were able to go to Munich last year. It was the first NFL game in Munich. And if Doc thought the crowd today was crazy here, he experienced inside of the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas for the Dallas Cowboys. It was like a college atmosphere last year. This sport, the NFL sport, is catching on worldwide, and we're really fanatical fans all over. But just an electrifying environment last year. I'm expecting the same in London, and just excited about meeting other people in different cultures and different spaces that love the game of football.
And what we'll do too, we'll be having you come to us live through WhatsApp. And keep updates on that, and also get some updates on that Kansas City game, big game. Titans won again today. They're 2-0, so Kansas City would like to make them 2-1. We're in the closing minutes here. It's 2-1, 24-17. New England failing Miami by 14. But remember, we talked about he did it again, didn't block it because the field goal could go wide.
Yes. you know, coming off that corner definitely has the kicker thinking twice. The field goal has gone wide, and what once was a game that we felt like Miami would handily win, had total control. They are on the verge of potentially going to overtime here as New England is marching down. Just received a sack by that Miami defense, and we will see if New England is able to rebound. Still plenty of time. Second down. It is second down and 18. And, you know, and all the timeouts, actually they have one timeout available, looks like. So they're going to have to go and execute. This next play is going to be critical if New England hopes to have a chance to stay in this game and force an overtime. Doc, I'm going to let you take everybody home in the last 60 seconds or so. This is going to be an interesting third and 18 coming up. They got to be in two down territory here. There's no other way to get them in overtime.
Yeah, having them miss the field goal and them not getting a touchdown is going to be academic. They can't get a touchdown. So we are looking at the final minutes, some other scores. Thursday night, Philadelphia won again. They're 2-0, leading that division. The Giants are 1-1 now. And
Commanders 2-0.
Philly's 2-0.
Commanders are 2-0 as well.
Oh, sorry, forgive me. Forgive me. Commanders too. So it's Commanders. That's right. That's right. They're top of the division with the Eagles, and we have 50-some seconds left. New England trying to get into the end zone to take the game into overtime. What would it be?
Final timeout has been taken, Doc.
Okay.
It's probably fourth and three coming up. It's going to be critical. But, you know, not only do you have to now get first down, you got to do clock management. And you got to give your team, put them in a position to win by doing some extreme clock management, getting out of bounds. Oh, that may be called back, Doc. It looks like there was a bit of a fumble.
No.
That may be called back, Doc. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
did he maintain control?
Well, it seems like he has control.
This is the play of the game.
Fourth and four, yeah. And, one man left. New England again on the verge of losing. Philadelphia ran off a kind of rough side. They,
He's old. What?
And New England gets the most improbable first down that you're going to see. And things we never saw before, and this is one of them. It makes the third one.
First down.
Yeah. We just talked about things we haven't saw before, and it was, watch the play, the receiver flips the ball back to the lineman who muscles forward and gets the first down as he's pushed by the other lineman. And, you know, wow, this is just really remarkable. He catches it, pushes forward. Give some volume on that thing. See who that is.
Okay.
Get some volume.
See what we're looking at. So basically, when his knee goes down, as the ball reaches the line, I think it's short. But without him in space, very difficult to overturn. Out in space, meaning no hash marks, no
people line, like
the
5 and 10
yard line.
Exactly. Oh, no, his knee is down. He's well above.
Offensive line with a difficult return here in Foxborough. This might be the greatest run with the ball by a Patriot offensive lineman.
Collins were always in the era of positivity, you know. 38 seconds left to go. I don't see where it's short. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. There's no. Okay.
Can you be 100% certain that is shy of that hash? on the other side. And it looks like this is going to flip. We see the Dolphins back, trying to bring the offense out and celebrate. Even though Sean Smith is still over at the monitor, oftentimes word filters to each sideline with the officials' communication with each other.
Take a minute, Morgan. Take a minute. Well, that's it. Kingship. Wow. That's it. Well, okay. Larry Hardesty will take us away on this one. Dolphins winning.
I don't know how they rule that.
That's another bad guy.
I don't know how they rule that.
Especially not in New England.
I mean, you have to overturn the call. I just need some conclusive evidence to overturn the call. That's it. Doc, you're going to have to talk about in your next upcoming episodes. Is there the demise? Are we too early, or is there a potential demise of the Cincinnati Bengals? 0-2, I know there's a lot of football to be played, but the question is, can they get back to potential Super Bowl contenders? I'd love to know that.
It's not so much an 0-2, it's the question of the quarterback. He seems to still be limping. He doesn't seem to be 100%. They were working on that leg over on the sidelines. So if he's not 100%, that's got to be a big question. This year I just saw a horrible call. I thought he got the first down, and it's been very interesting in those closing seconds to see what happens. But it's Miami's 2-0. They're leading the division right now, I believe. The first time in a long time. 0-2 is New England Patriots.
I know one thing, Doc. I hope that this trend changes very quickly. The refs have to stop making calls that are integral to the outcome of the game. They're doing it early in games, like we saw in the Dallas New York Jets game, and they're doing it late in games, like we're seeing in this New England Miami games. The refs should not be determining the outcome. Let the men on the field play and determine who wins these games.
To me, it seemed like you scored. We got a post game coming up, but I guess we're going to let Larry Hardesty take us out here. Doc Stanley Sports, still Block Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network, and that's it. New England loses, and the Giants win. As you talk about area teams, Buffalo wins, Giants loses. So here you are, 2-2. Giants win, New England loses, Jets lose, Buffalo win. And next week, New England, after two games at home, two losses at home, 0-2 at home, coming to New York. Larry Hardesty takes us out here on our show. Mr. Hardesty, we got to go now.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Out of every tears, understand every fear. So we must put our trust in God. He knows our reason why. Nights we must sit and cry. So we must put our trust.
Okay, Sal. What's he doing here? See?
Sometimes the Lord may
make you feel your mind almost gone.
called us Tito Oligami and G. Eva Mariposa. Also, Nova York and Bajan. And New York City, Casado, is you. You, this is Joe Ikea. The man, Mucha Bona, he loved it. You mean Mucha Bona, this is Amigo. Trusting all of you. You mean it's so much. Okay, so, come here. Come here. That's all.
Shows how much he cares by sharing the load we bear. So we must put our trust in God. Even when we don't understand, and it seems our world is falling apart, just a God. Tomorrow's sun.
This music game.
They all walk really hard. Got to get top to our own line. Got to get top to our defense. I think it was a collective, you know, game that was won on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, defense turned. You know, they got turnovers. Some of them we couldn't capitalize, but then when we were able to, we put points on the board.
Two touchdowns for this guy right here. What was working for you so well?
You know, there was they did a thing up front, like you alluded to, man. And you gotta give those guys credit. We came with a game plan. We came in with a game plan and we executed it. Of course, you gotta get better. We're gonna watch the tape tomorrow, and then we're gonna improve. So that's all you can do.
You told me you may be 31, but you play like you're 25. Did you feel like that tonight?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You look like it, right? Now you guys are 2-0. You've won those two games on the road, and you head home. What does that say about the seat of where you are right now in the season?
Yeah, I think it's still early to say what we are as a team. We're still trying to find our identity offensively, defensively, and collectively. So we'll continue to watch the film. We'll look at that, and we'll continue to build off of it.
That's the work for these guys. Congratulations.
Crazy ending. Once again, crazy officiating. From here, it just seemed like it was first down, and you kind of wanted that to see the continuance of the game to go, but didn't work out that way. Dr. Andy Sports in that Pop Talk video, Custom Guard Network, Larry Hardesty, you know, my favorite song in the show, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Connection of the last play. Okay. Yeah.
It happens in space, not near one of the big lines of the hash mark, so it becomes really difficult. But the clear and obvious is always a gray area, and thanks for walking us through all of that. And Chris, to the point you made on that play, Andrew Van Ginkle, who had a great night, his play there probably keeps the Patriots from getting that extra half yard.
Well, as a ball carrier, I can tell you nothing takes you to the ground faster than when somebody like Van Ginkle grabs the ball and is pulling at it and you want to try to protect it, and you tend to go down. And I think Van Ginkel's play, as it was all night long, was the difference on this one, because as he tugged on it, he literally got that big offensive lineman, Cole Strange, to go to the ground to protect the ball, and it was just enough. If I had to swear to it, I would say, yes, I thought he was short, but, man, that was really close to overturn and end the game.
Story of this league.
You know, Chris Collinsworth, you know, brought a tremendous point that we didn't see, and he brought up the reason why the lineman went down because of the tugging at the ball. A tremendous point, bro.
Tremendous point, boy, but I think what you heard Chris Collinsworth say as eloquently as he could without ruffling the feathers of the referees was, man, that was extremely close to overturn. And, you know, typically when the call is made on the field and you don't have conclusive evidence, you simply do not overturn the call.
Yeah. Well, we have seen horrible officiating in both here, in Dallas,
yes,
Texas, and New England. So it's been north north and south. Black Family Sports Network, Black Talk Radio, on Trust and Guard Radio Network, and Earth, Wind, and Fire takes us out like I promised. So it was 10:32. Okay. Inspiration ending. And something for your sports and that. Barry Hodges again will take us out. Earth, Wind, and Fire. And closing theme song. Barry Hodges. Closing ending. God's family, sports and death. We're closing out. Hope you enjoyed the show. God's family, sports and death. Oh, I know. We're going to give it a long closeout. Hang on. Sports and death. Talking Sunday sports. Trust in God 100%. Sports and death with Dr. Mel, Doc Stanley Sr. and his renowned sports posse on this Texas segment again is CT Talks, and again coming to you from our Texas studios. Sports and Death is an in-depth informative education show. Look, the world of sports, and this is Doc Stanley's renowned and legendary award-winning show, Sports and Death. And Doc's renowned legendary award-winning show. Sports and Death, diversity from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective not only of the sports of our times, but two of the players and performers and set of events of now and yesteryear. Sports and Death, a.k.a. SID, also brings us a unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because as it takes raw God-given talent, in addition, it too takes a God-blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, and a belief in competing and accomplishing too. And with the in-depth knowledge, awareness, and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic sports posse, Sports and Death is to the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we revoke the rumors, hogtie the issues, and lasso the issues of brand new truth. Sports and Depth on Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network, a docism. After giving up none, you have to get some. Closing out the day from our Grand Prairie, Texas studios with Tim Buffet, as we call him, C2 Talks. Some big games, some big questions, some big moments. Some places, the moment's not big enough, and the question's still being asked. Doc Stanley, sports and their Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Government at Work. Larry Hardesty will take us out. Larry. Sports and Death. Blog Talk Radio, on Trust and Government Network.
Hi, I'm
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
dia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, um doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Thank you. the Colorado Buffaloes.
Você, meu amigo de fé, meu irmão, camarada, amigo de tantos caminhos e tantas jornadas, cabeça de homem, mas o coração de menino, aquele que está do meu lado em qualquer caminhada. Me lembro de todas as lutas, meu bom companheiro. Você tantas vezes provou que é um grande guerreiro. O seu coração é uma casa de portas abertas. Amigo, você é o mais certo das horas incertas. Às vezes em certos momentos difíceis da vida, em que precisamos de alguém pra ajudar na saída, a sua palavra de força, de fé e de carinho me dá a certeza de que eu nunca estive sozinho. Você, meu amigo de fé, meu irmão, camarada, sorriso e abraço festivo da minha chegada. Você que me diz as verdades com frases abertas. Amigo, você é o mais certo das horas incertas. Não preciso nem dizer tudo isso que eu lhe digo, mas é muito bom saber que você é meu amigo. Não preciso nem dizer tudo isso que eu lhe digo, mas é muito bom saber que eu tenho um grande amigo. Não preciso nem dizer tudo isso que eu lhe digo, mas é muito bom saber que você é meu amigo. Não preciso nem dizer.
Now he was off to Colorado, another mountain.